The family and domestic violence incidents that have been highlighted in a national conversation surrounding the NFL are important, and that conversation is important, but it's extremely incomplete. The purpose of our talking today is to focus on the fact that in homes across the nation, every day, domestic and family violence is a fact of life. And we can do more about that. Today's conversation is going to lead us in several different directions. It's an unusual thing to have this discussion today, because Domestic Violence Awareness Month is next month, and there will be significant conversations in October around this issue. But this conversation that we're having today cannot wait. Our office alone here in the city of Los Angeles reviews 200 cases of domestic violence allegations every week, 200 cases a week. And we file hundreds of cases every year. We're going to talk today about the public safety implications of this issue and how we can work together to break this cycle of violence. But at the outset, I want to speak directly to the victims and survivors of domestic and family violence. You are not alone. There is a team prepared to help you. We're going to discuss specifically how in just a moment, but the first thing to focus on is the fact that if you are a victim of domestic violence, if you're involved in an ongoing incident of domestic violence, you must call 911. I am here with a team with me, but among those team members is our significant partner in the criminal justice system and the public safety leader of our police department, Chief Charlie Beck, who's going to talk to you about LAPD's response when you call 911. Chief Beck.
Thank you, Mike, and I want to thank the city attorney, our great city attorney in Los Angeles, for highlighting this issue. As he has just told you, next month is Domestic Violence Month. You're going to be seeing a lot more purple than just the chief's hideous tie at the next month. And it's important to do that because this is a conversation that has to be had. In Los Angeles, for the last 11 years, crime has gone down. Crime is down this year, with one glaring exception. Incidents of domestic violence have increased this year by 18% in our beautiful city. That means there are over 1,300 additional occurrences of domestic violence as compared to last year. We need to address that, not only as a police department, but as a city. All of us. All of us can help address this issue. Domestic violence doesn't occur in a vacuum. It is connected to spousal abuse. It is connected to child abuse. It is something that the neighbors become aware of. It is something that the schools become aware of. It is something that all of us can reach out, make a call, and make a difference. Because even as impactful as this is to the direct victim, it's just as impactful to the rest of the family. In a home that suffers domestic violence, the children are many, many, many times more likely to engage in the same cycle of behavior when they enter into relationships. This is a cycle that has to be broken. This is something that all of us need to address. Now, when you call the police department about an incident of domestic violence, in 13 of our 21 divisions, a domestic abuse response team is likely to be dispatched. That's a team made up of Los Angeles police officers and service providers who can help find support, find housing with medical treatment, all of the plethora of things that are needed to address a family in crisis. We need to expand that to all 21 divisions. And I'm working with our city attorney and more, and just as importantly, with the mayor's office to secure that funding. Because as in so many things, it's not just about black and white cars. We can take immediate action. We can stop something that is occurring at the moment. But reaching inside homes that are in trouble, reaching inside families that are in crisis, takes much more than just the men and women in blue. So the purpose of today's press conference, in my opinion, is to get all of Los Angeles involved. If you know a victim of domestic violence, please reach out to the police department. If you are a victim of domestic violence, please reach out to the police department. We can be the first step in the solution to your issue. We can be the first step to saving not only you, but your children. This is truly an issue that impacts all of us. Thank you, and thank you for the media's attention. You know, we have a great turnout here today, and I know this is become, as the city attorney said, a little bit of the issue du jour because of the NFL, but it's so much more than that. So much more than that. This is an issue that affects all of Los Angeles, and if we don't make a change in it, all generations of Angelenos will suffer in the future. Thank you.
Chief, thank you so much. We're really blessed in this city to have such an exceptional chief of police. The chief talked about LAPD's response, and he talked about how we can all be involved. I want to elaborate on that latter theme. Every person who thinks that they may become a domestic violence victim, every domestic or family violence survivor, members of their families or neighbors, even abusers, have a number to call here in Los Angeles where 24/7 trained specialists can provide help. And I want to provide that number to all of you so you can disseminate it more broadly. The LA County Hotline is 800-978-3600, 800-978-3600. And I want to stress, a call to this hotline is completely confidential. The team that's here before you understands that for everyone involved in domestic and family violence issues, these are very tough issues. There's a lot of fear involved. We get it. These calls are completely confidential 24/7. Our office, the City Attorney's Office of Los Angeles, in the front lines on this issue. We vertically prosecute these cases, and we provide support. We have an attorney who's a prosecutor. We have a victim assistance specialist and investigators, all working together to fight for the victim, to protect the victim, and to assure that we do everything possible. The chief mentioned something very important. There is a family often involved in this, everything possible to be sensitive to the needs of that family. It's an honor in this office to be working with Eve Sheedy. Eve is our chief counsel for domestic violence policy. But because of her expertise, she's more than that. Eve was just elected to be the chair of the city's domestic violence task force, a task force that seeks to have a unified approach across lines of agencies and departments, so those artificial boundaries don't matter anymore, working as a team on domestic violence issues. And she and others in our office are leaders in doing even more. The chief mentioned something that is now something I want to emphasize, and that is the deep connections between domestic and family violence on the one hand and other problems that we talk about every day, often in isolation from these issues, and they're not in isolation at all. There is a cycle of violence at stake here, and we need to break that cycle. The first issue I want to talk about is the relationship between gangs and domestic violence. Now, this is an issue that Eve nationally has been pioneering, because this is only recently becoming known to be a source of deep connections. And here's what we mean. First, if you are, as the chief said, a child whether a direct victim of family abuse or a witness, you are much more likely to perpetrate violence later on, much more likely to be a perpetrator. But there's more. If you're in a home that is pervaded with family violence, you're going to look to alternative places to create a family. You may turn to a gang. And there's more. If you're involved in a relationship that might involve a gang member, you are much less likely, if you are the victim of abuse, to want to report it later on for fear of reprisal. These connections are very deep. What are we doing about it? Well, first, our office has created the first ever Domestic Violence Gang Nexus Committee. Even others just led a symposium training gang intervention specialists and other agencies in how to recognize the links between domestic violence and gang violence and how to break that cycle. And we're going to continue to be leading this effort because this relationship between gangs and domestic violence cannot be overstated. The significance is a big deal. Next, kids and domestic violence and family violence. So we've talked about those relationships. I want to go deeper. There is emerging science that tells us that children who grow up in environments that are pervaded with violence are themselves traumatized all the time. And that trauma has significance beyond the moment. Because what brain scientists tell us now is that those children are forever going to have their biological potential inhibited because their brains are never going to develop in ways that otherwise would have happened naturally because of that trauma. We as adults have a tremendous responsibility when we recognize that relationship. We have to do more to break the link, the cycle of violence that we're talking about, or we're consigning huge numbers of children to never fulfilling who they could have been. And as a result, our office has created a Children Exposed to Violence team. It's led by Tracy Webb. In this office, that team has already educated just a few days ago every member of our staff in how to have what we call trauma-informed prosecution, how to assure that children caught up in this cycle aren't re-traumatized as our office goes about aggressively prosecuting these matters. And we're doing more. We're going to hold a symposium on this issue involving youth leaders in February. We're going to raise awareness in communities throughout the city of this issue, and we're going to take new steps to break that cycle of violence that is going to have this tremendous biological effect on our kids. Third, there is a deep link between domestic violence and gun violence. Many of you know, this week we announced the creation of the first ever nationwide coalition of prosecutors, Prosecutors Against Gun Violence. This is an issue we're going to continue to elevate. Within that context, it's important to note the work of Greg Dorfman, a member of my staff who is here, who is leading our efforts on gun violence prevention. So what's one of the first things Greg did when I assigned him to this task? He recognized that here in the city of Los Angeles, the law is that a domestic violence perpetrator is not permitted to have a weapon, but there was no system in place to assure that law was in effect. Chief Beck will tell you that among the most volatile calls that a member of our police department gets is when they're called to the scene of domestic violence. If there's a gun in that environment, that is an ingredient that's going to lead to a tragedy. So what have we done? Working very closely with our partners at the police department, in the court system and others, we've created new protocols that may be replicated elsewhere in the country for how to assure that domestic violence perpetrators don't have weapons. And we have a new public education campaign around this issue. We are distributing brochures in 5 different languages on the relationship between domestic violence and gun violence so that victims, survivors, their friends, and their neighbors know whom to call, know their rights, and know what steps we can take to get a gun out of that environment. So as I conclude here, I want to say just a couple last things. First, I want to note that standing with us is Carol Tanto from Sojourn Services and a member and past chair of the Domestic Violence Task Force. And Adriana Molina from Children's Institute, Inc. has joined us as well. And I want to mention, as we're concluding this segment of the discussion, finally this. It is important that the issues in the NFL have at least elevated the conversation of domestic violence. But that conversation has been far too narrow. This is about so much more than the NFL and its policies. And if we allow ourselves to think about domestic violence as a nation through the lens of one sports group, we are going to overlook the most important issues in our neighborhoods every day. Remember, I mentioned 200 cases a week are reviewed by our office just here in the city of Los Angeles. And let's not allow our national attention to be deflected in the way that leads us to think, well, this is an NFL problem and they're taking steps to take care of it. This is our problem, and we need to have a collective effort to do much more to address it. And it's those connections I wanted to highlight today. If I could just say a couple words in Spanish, and then we'll take questions. La verdad es que la violencia doméstica ocurre cada día a mujeres y hombres en nuestra comunidad. Mi oficina maneja casi 11,000 casos cada año y tenemos que seguir hablando del tema hasta ponerle un alto. Quiero hablar a las víctimas, sobrevivientes, sus familias, amigos y colegas, para que sepan que hay ayuda para ustedes. La unidad contra la violencia doméstica de mi oficina maneja casos muy serios y difíciles. Nuestro objetivo es que los agresores paguen según la ley y apoyar a los sobrevivientes. Las víctimas deben tener la seguridad de poder reportar casos, sin importar su estatus legal, Ustedes estarán protegidos. All right. Now, in Korean. No, not just kidding. Okay. So, I know there is a limit to our talent here. What I'd like to do is open this to any questions you have. Well, I wouldn't presume to give Mr. Goodell advice as to how to handle the NFL. What I would say is that as we have riveted our attention on the NFL, it's important for all of us, including leaders of the Football League, to make clear that this issue has implications within the league, but those implications far transcend the league. I think we need a partnership where all of us recognize the importance of the issues of domestic and family violence and don't allow ourselves, our attention, to be limited to a few football players.
Chief, you said that it's up 18% this year. Can you why?
You know, it's up across the
line. Oh, sorry, excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, of course.
It's up 18% in total in the city. In South Los Angeles, it's up 30%. In Central Los Angeles, about 20%. And in the high single digits in the Valley and in West Bureau. It is a issue that is citywide, although some of our poorer communities are seeing an even greater increase than others. We are struggling to determine the reasons for an increase. The economy is coming out of the recession. Normally, domestic violence incidents can be attached to monetary crisis in a family. So we don't know if it's a holdover from that. We certainly think that confidence in policing and their ability to respond causes a more likelihood for reporting. That may be a part of it. But we believe we're seeing a real increase here. It is not just a paper increase. You know, as the chief of police in the city of Los Angeles, it's important to me that we affect this because, as the city attorney so eloquently put it, this affects all crime. You know, just because you're not the victim of domestic violence doesn't mean that this cycle won't affect you. It will. It will. And all of us need to work towards it. So as we struggle for reasons, I think that as important as those reasons may be, and as much as they may affect what we need to do, it's even more important to focus on solutions, and that's what we're here today to do. So, you know, we will parse the numbers, we will investigate incidents in the broad scope, and try to come up with some type of reason or rhyme for this increase. But I think the most important thing is to address it going forward. You know, increases are retrospective. We need to address incidents as they occur and will occur.
Chief, do you have any kind of stats on how many of these calls that you get, where the woman is a reluctant participant? In other words, she doesn't want to press the charges. She said, look, he beat me up, he did this, I had to report it, but leave him alone. Is that a major problem?
It is a major problem. And it is, you know, people, and I certainly don't, and people should not blame the victims here. You know, these are complicated relationships where people's economic stability, their family stability, their ability to raise their children are all interrelated. And victims are often faced with the impossible decision. Do I save myself or do I destroy my family? And so we understand that, and that's one of the reasons why the domestic abuse response teams are so important. That's one of the reasons why what the city attorney talks about in the total office concept of handling these cases not only in a vertical prosecution but with additional resources is so important, because we have to be able to not only look at whether or not we need to prosecute a case, but how to solve the issue in the family. You know, I've arrested a lot of people in my 40 years in law enforcement, but that's not my goal. You know, I would be happy if we never arrested another person for domestic violence. I would rather fix the family. But we have to save people. We have to save lives.
Other questions?
Chief, just to follow up on the statistics, when did that upward trend start? Was it just this year, or has it been the last several years?
We have seen consistent decreases in domestic violence over the last several years. And this year, particularly as we approach the summer, we began to see a significant increase. That increase has carried over. You know, it has stabilized in some of our divisions, but a 30% increase in South Los Angeles, you know, that is significant. It will affect the city's entire crime picture at the end of this year. And you know, I know I talk to you a lot about numbers, and once in a while it may seem that the chief just cares about the numbers, but that's not – that's anybody that knows me knows that that's not true.
Well, you touched on the reporting issue. I mean, after the issues you dealt with, the inconsistencies in reporting, do you think more vigilance there is responsible for a big part of that numerical increase?
Well, you have to remember that, you know, this is getting really complicated now, because domestic violence is not let me finish. So domestic violence is not necessarily a Part One crime. It depends on the nature. So a general increase in domestic violence doesn't move those numbers that I report to you so diligently every week. It affects it in some portion, but not in totality. So it isn't just about more diligent reporting, although I believe that I believe that the public is more willing to contact the police than ever, especially in many, many communities where we've made significant inroads in confidence. So, you know, that has a piece. You know, police officers are well aware and have been well aware for a whole generation now that these incidents are not to be ignored. There are very specific rules and penalties for ignoring an incident of domestic violence. You know, I hate to say it, but when I was a young police officer, you know, the goal of policing was to keep the peace and go to the next radio call. That doesn't happen anymore. If there's a report of domestic violence, an arrest is made, and that's important for people to understand. There is a mandate in the law that when a police officer becomes aware of an incident of domestic violence and there's a visible injury, that somebody goes to jail. And now whether that's prosecuted, whether the victim, as Dave said, comes forward and continues through with the court case, matters not. Somebody's going to get arrested. And that's no way to build a family through a jail cell.
How important is the message to be able to be sent today on domestic violence and affecting your ability to work with domestic violence victims?
Anytime there is national attention focused in the broadest possible way, the accurate way, on the broad swath of domestic violence and family violence in our country, it helps support victims and survivors. It has, as I said earlier, been an incomplete conversation up to now. And I think that the leaders of the NFL would do a service to highlight the fact that this is both an issue for them to deal with within the league, but also an issue on which national leaders throughout everybody that we've discussed, from prosecutors and police to domestic violence advocates to those who work with kids all day, that all of them need a level of support that hasn't always been there. The other thing I want to say, by the way, is the connections that we've highlighted today can't be overstated. There is a cycle of violence here. The chief introduced the notion of what the issues are for kids, for the survivors of domestic violence, for when it implicates on the gang issues on our streets, gun violence issues. There are pervasive implications from the issues of domestic violence that far transcend whether a player is suspended, that far transcend whether he's cut from a team. These issues relate not just to a single family. There is a cycle that relates to neighborhoods and whole communities here, and we can do better to cut through that cycle and break it, and we're going to. The chief wanted to say something, I think.
You know, I would just add that I think there's a tremendous opportunity for the NFL here. You know, they've taken a collective beating over this, and I believe that they have a not only an obligation, but a huge opportunity. Whether you like it or not, when you're a professional athlete in our culture, you are a role model. You are somebody that young people, primarily young men, want to emulate, want to be like, want to replicate. The NFL, as a collective entity, could become a tremendous spokesbody to prevent domestic violence. That's what I'd like to see to come from this. You know, there is an opportunity to do much better, and the NFL could take a leadership role.
With this in the national conversation, Chief and City Attorney, will the increase of reports of victims coming forward, could that be seen as a positive, as now there's more confidence that, you know what, I'm going to be safe, it's time to end this? Could the number, the increases, be interpreted that way?
Well, you know, and as the chief, it's not my job just to get the numbers down. It's my job to eliminate the crime and to make the community safe. And an increase in reporting, if that is the cause for the increase in statistics, then I'm happy for it. Because every time somebody, you know, the city attorney and I are here today, and each one of our messages is consistent, if you're a victim, come forward. We want you to report so that we can engage our partners, engage the system to help you and your family. And so if that causes an increase in the numbers, then I am more than okay with that. But we have, you know, as Rick pointed out, in answer to his question, there is more than just an increase in reporting and the chronicling of what is a pervasive problem in society. There's more to it than that, and that's one of the reasons we're talking today.
And I just want to be sure to emphasize that calls to either the national or the county domestic violence hotlines are not calls simply made by someone who is themselves a victim or a survivor of domestic violence, maybe someone who fears that it is about to happen. It may be somebody who's looking for guidance in that sense. It could be a friend or a family member who has seen what they think are the signs of domestic or family violence and is looking for a way to talk to the person or the family who may be victimized, to get them to have the courage of knowing that they're not alone, that they're supported to go forward. So there are many different reasons that people can call such a hotline, and we want to encourage people to call for any of those reasons. Because let's recognize that when someone has been victimized by family or domestic violence, this system has failed. Because we could have intervened, some intervention could have happened at an earlier stage. our goal clearly includes having victims to know that they are not alone and that we are here to fight for them, to stand up with them, and to support them and their families, and to do so with great sensitivity. But that's not the only role we have. We have a role in trying to assure that intervention and prevention can take place, and all of us, I think, need to be recommitted to that goal, too. That's a very, do you know the answer to that? I'm not sure I know the answer to that question. Yeah.
Compared to major cities, well, New York's the only other city, so we're probably relatively
Yeah, don't have
more than everybody else.
Yeah, we don't have a great answer to that question. But I think then the absolute statistics tell a very important story. Think about it. Every day, on average, 40 matters are referred to us. Every day. Now, the chief mentioned that there are some increases in reporting. We've discussed the fact that it could be that people are who are reporting or the cases that arise are arising because there is more confidence in the system. But it's also the case, there is no question, as some of you have asked, there's no question that one of the great challenges we all confront once we get a case is survivors and victims of domestic violence face a number of complicated challenges, and people are sometimes in fear. And that's one of the goals of our office, is to intercede and provide the kind of support to dissipate that fear and inspire confidence that we are here to effectively advocate for them, to make them and their families safe. Thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate it.